In the name of God, our Creator, God, our Redeemer, and God, our Sustainer. Amen.
Amen.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Happy sixth day of Christmas, the geese a-laying day. Why any goose in its right mind would want to be a-laying in this weather or season, I don't know, but there it is. But happy sixth day of Christmas, because it is still Christmas, and it will still be Christmas all the way up to the Feast of the Epiphany on January the 6th. So we are really only halfway there. If you were to ask me, why do we celebrate 12 days of Christmas? I'd have to ask you, why does the secular world celebrate only one? In this way, by celebrating 12 days, we are being very countercultural. If we keep Advent, and we keep it well, we wait, we anticipate, and we start to celebrate Christmas just when the cold commercial world stops. The start up of the commercial holiday season machine has now backed all the way up to Halloween. And many people that I know are exhausted by the whole thing by now. They are grimly hanging on, trying to make it to New Year's Day. But really, they are more than ready to stop all the hoopla and just let life get back to normal. But we start to celebrate precisely when that commercial world stops. And if we keep Christmas and keep it well, we're halfway there, halfway through the 12 days of celebrating the incarnation of God among us. Our gospel reading today contains some of the most beautiful language that anyone has tried to wrap around and communicate that the idea of this crazy, absurd, radical, audacious notion that the God who sung the galaxies and spun the planets and calls each star by name and knows each of us came down at Christmas and became one of us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Of this beautiful reading, I think my favorite passages are these, verses 1, 4, and 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. I like that last verse even better in the Old King James Version. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. God knows there is plenty of darkness in this world, but then God breaks into our world, bringing life and light to all of creation, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The darkness cannot even comprehend it. The dark does not have the final word because Jesus is the first word, the Logos, the Word of God, become flesh to dwell among us. And that is good news indeed. The author of John's Gospel does not give us a genealogy or a nativity story or a statement of ministry, but announces in beautiful, poetic, hymn-like language that God has chosen to be one of us. Not just with us then, but with us now. God has chosen to be with us in our frailty, in our poverty, our joys and our sorrows. God has chosen to be with us in the middle of our busyness and our distraction and our mess. God has chosen to be with us and to love us. God incarnate in Jesus Christ will not leave us in the dark. So we have cause to celebrate. We can't squeeze it into a single day. We celebrate with candles that beat back the dark, with hymns and carols that tell the story through generations, and with an abundance of food that could be a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. We celebrate with family and friends, and hopefully with strangers, to tell them the story of the good news of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. Hopefully, We will remember and tenderly care for those for whom celebration is difficult or even impossible due to depression, addiction, illness, grief, or any manner of ills that may befall us. The good news is there for all of us, always, even if we cannot always hear it. For those in any need or trouble, we pray, Lord, have mercy. And sometimes that mercy is a gift that comes in unexpected forms. Sometimes that mercy comes packaged as us practicing what I like to call the ministry of showing up. Sometimes we are called to be the bearers of light into some of the darker places, to shine like a lighthouse so that others can find their way home in the dark. We show up at Miss Carol's breakfast. We show up at our neighborhood dinners with Mama Cat and the pot bangers. We show up at the bedsides of the sick. We bring communion to the homebound. Or we pick up the phone to check on people that we know or suspect might be lonely. We serve on committees to end hunger. We work and walk and march and call to dismantle racism. We lobby our representatives to make a kinder and, please God, safer and more just society. We might serve in our night shelter, providing hospitality and a friendly word, a hot meal, clean sheets, and most importantly, a few hours of safety for a night's rest, out of the cold, away from the dark. And we show up in church, even on a low Sunday, thank you for being here, to participate in the service of word and sacrament, and so encouraged and so nourished, we go back out into the world in service. And that's how we keep Christmas. That's how we keep it today and for all 12 days. That's how we keep it for all 12 days and every day. One more way that we celebrate Christmas is by giving gifts. God gave us that first gift, the best gift, by choosing to become one of us, to dwell with us, and ultimately to save us from all sin. Best gift ever. And here's another one. I'm going to keep this homily short. See, there's a gift right there. But by way of closing, I would like to offer you another small gift, a slightly modified version of a poem that I wrote as a children's sermon on Christmas Eve many, many years ago. John's Gospel tells the good news of the Incarnation in beautiful language and challenges us to respond as if we understood and really received the gift that we've been given. This is a simpler telling of the Nativity story. So, with apologies to both St. Luke and Clement C. Moore, here it is, my Christmas gift to you. It's the sixth day of Christmas, and all through this place, the wonder of Christmas still shines on each face. We're gathered together to hear once again the story of Jesus' birth way back when. 2,000 years back, Christ was born, we are told, on a night much like this. It was dark and it was cold. And Joseph and Mary had come a long way only to find they had no place to stay. The Bethlehem inns were full up. They weren't able to find any room, so they stayed in a stable. Well, they had to make room with some sheep and a cow, but the baby was coming, and coming right now. And so they moved in with the cow and the sheep, and along about midnight, when darkness was deep, with Joseph to guard them, young Mary gave birth to God's only son, born for us here on earth. And isn't it just an astonishing thing? He was born as a poor child and not as a king. When an angel appeared to some shepherds that night, it gave those poor shepherds and sheep a big fright. "Calm down," said the angel, "and hear what I say. To you a Savior has been born this day. He lies in a stable in Bethlehem town, wrapped in cloth in a manger. So get up and go down." Then thousands of angels appeared, voices ringing, praise to God and goodwill and God's peace they were singing. So the shepherds ran down, and they found Jesus there, asleep in the manger, all swaddled with care. The Savior God promised and prophets foretold was lying right there, just a few hours old. They told all their friends what they saw in that stable. Then others told others, until now we are able to tell you the story of how Christ our King was born a poor child, our salvation to bring. For that very same Jesus in that manger bed later died for our sins and then rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven and he will come again. We know that he's coming, we just don't know when. And that very same Jesus that rose from the dead is present today with us here in the bread that we take in our hands and receive in our hearts. And through God's Holy Spirit, we all play our parts in bringing God's peace and goodwill to this earth. And for us, that all started with Jesus' birth. And now you know the story, and you'll tell it again. But that's the end of this telling. Merry Christmas. Amen.